We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome to Light Years. Andy Liu, we are recording this while the Warriors play in the California Classic. No Moses Moody, no Jonathan Kuminga. Our boy Justinian Jessup playing, but we will comment on how Moody and Kuminga, who everyone wants to see play, later in the week. But right now, we got the biggest news in Warriors. Probably the biggest news they're going to get in the offseason. A one Stephen Curry has signed a four-year extension, taking him through 2026 as a Golden State Warrior. 4 years, $215 million. To tie onto it, first NBA player to sign two $200 million contracts. Also, probably the only player of his era, his generation, who's going to be a one-team player. Your thoughts?
I mean, there is never going to be anyone like Steph Curry. Everybody knew you didn't need to have sources to know that Steph is going to sign this contract and he's going to end up playing with the Warriors for the rest of his life. But when you kind of see it happen, it really does hit you, Sam. There's nobody that's going to be like Steph Curry again. The Warriors were miserable before him. The Warriors are going to be not as great as they are when he leaves, when he retires. And there is not a player right now in the NBA that I think is as, loyal is not really the right word. I think just resonates with their fan base, just as much love, right, as Steph Curry. There's nobody like him. To me, Kobe, Tim Duncan are the two guys that come close to that type of the love that their fans give to Steph Curry. There's nobody like that in today's NBA. And I think that speaks a lot to who he is and what he's done for the Warriors, with the Warriors, I should say.
I think about people who say he should leave. He should go chase a ring, you know, and he could have done that, but he's staying with the Warriors. He wants to be that one franchise guy. And I think honestly, in 5-10 years after he retires, we're going to look back on him with far more reverence than any of these players from this era who bounce team to team. You know, it's weird because, like, as a Warrior fan, I didn't even think we could have a legend on our, like, I was just hoping we'd had a playoff team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And now, somebody that could average 20 points, even
someone who could get you to the seventh seed. Now it's like, you got three championships. You got kind of the iconic player of this era. And make no mistake, he is the most iconic player of this era. And he's going to be in a Warriors uniform the entire time. I think it's amazing. I think it is. I can't help but think of all these dudes who keep bouncing teams. Yep. And how they're constant. The first sign of adversity, they're like, well, time to move to the next team. Time moves to the next team.
Right.
If Steph was like that, he would have left the war. He would have demanded a trade when Clay got hurt. He would have been like, it's over. Time to go to Milwaukee. Time to do this. Time to do that. Instead, he's going to stick it out with the Warriors. They may have another down year this year. It may be a lean go of it for a period of time. But if he gets back to the mountaintop with this team, it's going to mean so much more than anything that, you know, I go to Miami, then I come back to Cleveland and handpick a team of all-stars and all this sort of stuff, you know?
I think that's a great, I think that's the comparison. I think you see the Lakers winning a title, and I think that stuff doesn't really, it just doesn't resonate the way that it does with someone like Steph that wins one. And like Giannis, you look at Giannis winning one. Look, the Lakers fans are going to love whatever happens and they win, right? But it's just, I hesitate to say that it means more. I just think that when you look back, when fans look back on Steph Curry's career, I think that the appreciation for that is going to be more. I think it's going to be, hey, look, Steph had to play with AC Law when he started his career. And then he played with Kevin Durant. And then he played with Alan Kai Smiley. Bowman. Yeah.
Smiley.
And then Jonathan Kuminga was the best player at the tail end of his career. And they won another few titles because of that. Like, Steph was there for the worst, the highest, and then the worst again. And then the high, like that stuff, I think what you're trying to say, like that stuff is, you can't write that stuff up. Like, you can't, it is not manufactured, right? What Steph has done in his career as a Warrior so far moving forward, it's not manufactured. It is who he is as a person. He's one of, I think, the most passionate, most honest basketball players that we'll ever see. And I think the other crazy part, when you talk about the skill level of Steph Curry and who he is, there's going to be nobody like him in terms of, he's 6'3". And there's nobody in terms of shooting, scoring efficiency in the history of the NBA that is Steph Curry size. And that's crazy.
I think it often gets forgotten in this, you have to compete every year thing. And believe me, we want the Warriors to make moves and be more competitive next year. I think it gets forgotten. If you really want to stick it out with one team, you're going to have some down years. Look at Kobe's career. Three-peat with Shaq. One of the more dominant teams I've ever seen. Falls apart, they get old, they trade Shaq off. But even beyond Shaq, it was like Ron Harper, Rick Fox, all those guys, Robert Horry, they all got old, right? And then the Lakers are terrible, not terrible, but they're like in the middle, not really relevant for 3-4 years there. And then they re-rise once they finally build the team. And he gets to lead through two eras. Or like Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan won a title a second year. He wins 4 titles in his first, I want to say 8 years. Something like that. And then they're kind of a first round out for about 4 or 5 years before they enter a second thing of true contention. And him winning one in 2014 after it'd been 7 years since he last won his previous title. I mean, that's the type of stuff where it's like, no one remembers the year with Smiley. No one remembers the year he broke his hand. What they remember is like, 2015, they changed the game. They go on a dynastic run. Yeah, there's some lean years in there. And then again, they go on one. And that's some special stuff. Yeah. He has a chance to do that. He realizes that is going to be more special than forcing a trade to Milwaukee. He could have forced a trade to Milwaukee. He could be a world champion right now. They would have won a title with him instead of Jrue Holiday. Like, I don't think anyone's really disputing that as a fact, right? Not the path he wants to go. And I mean, I think the Bay is pretty happy about it.
Yeah. It's easy. It's easy to pick a living situation when you have all the leverage and you get to recruit all the best talent. It's easy. Not to say that it doesn't mean more, it means less, but it's easier, right? Every few years you get to basically use up all of the assets that the franchise that you have to try to win in those 3 years. Great. You're maximizing your ability. You're maximizing what you need to do to win in your career. But the way that Steph is doing it, I think it is old school. And people are going to argue whether that's right or wrong in the way. I don't care. It's just different. And I think it's a cool hearkening back to what Kobe did in his career. That's why people love Kobe so much. That's what Tim Duncan did. MJ, you know, he did leave at the end, but same thing, right? Magic Johnson, those guys, I think, man, there's nothing. There's nobody like that. Like Giannis, right? But like you saying, there's Giannis, but he's a newer
Giannis,
generation.
Giannis
you
is could, 26. He's not the same generation as Steph.
Yep, who knows?
Who knows where his career goes in 5 years? You know,
Kyrie, Harden, LeBron, KD. You go down the list of those guys of Steph's generation. Those guys pick and choose the situations that they play in, and life is easy. Steph Curry has been through the ups and downs of his careers, and I think, man, if the Warriors can find a way to win another championship, and we're going to get into free agency here in about 2 seconds, then it's going to be, it would be a great storybook ending to what he's done here with the Warriors. Yeah, and he's also given the Warriors a bigger gift than he's getting credit for. He's given them stability.
Oh, yeah.
Whether they figure it out this free agency, or it's at the trade deadline, or it's next summer, he's telling the world, I'm a Warrior. And if you want to come to an organization where you can play as a superstar like me, I'm going to be here. You don't have to worry about me demanding a trade after 6 months like Russell Westbrook or like Paul George or like James Harden or any of these guys. He is firmly a Warrior guy. So it gives the Warriors a level of flexibility. It makes Bob Myers and Joe Lacob's job a little easier in terms of attracting players. And, you know, we'll see where they go with that. But that's something that they're not going to appreciate it until it's gone, I guess is the best way to put it. You don't realize how much that helps you until it's gone.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Tuesday night, free agency started. The big name guys have signed. We knew the Warriors weren't going to, you know, spend $20+ million on a player because they don't have the cap space or anything like that. Like, they weren't going to get Jared Allen. Or to get DeMar DeRozan or whoever it may be, right? But a lot of names are off the board, and the Warriors have made two signings so far. And it's not over. I'm not going to grade them on free agency until, like, the roster's complete. But through 2 days, we have two names here. And I want your early impression. Otto Porter and Nemanja Bjelica.
Hey, it says you can't grade them. I give these both an A.
I'm not grading the totality of them. Yes, you can grade the individual signs.
Yes. Yeah. We'll start with Otto Porter. Fantastic signing. I think you brought this up last week. The Light Years listeners know last Friday after the draft show that this was a target. Yeah. That this was a target. Yeah. I was a little shocked. Otto Porter, one of my favorite players back in 2016, 2015, you know, right before he signed that big contract.
Blog boy Andy's favorite.
Great player, right? Great role player. Does all the smart things you want. He's a basketball player. For the vet men, and I think this really comes down to if he's going to be healthy, he's going to be superb. And it feels like to me that the Warriors, you're not signing this guy unless you know he has some type of good bill of health here moving forward. He can still get hurt during the season, but I think as of right now, you operate under the assumption that he's like, it's not like he's hurt right now. He's overweight, and he's been hurt over the last two seasons. So I think you operate under the assumption that he's going to be relatively healthy. I guess the question is, what type of burst does he have left? But I think offensively as a shooter, superb, 40%, right? He's not a fake shooter. He's a real, real shooter. And then defensively, he has the length to be a small ball four. So I'll pause there. He's just the best
signing. He's a good passer. And he's a good passer.
Cutter, I mean, all of that, right?
He's what I call the Boris Diaw corollary. So I have this theory. In the NBA, they're superstars, okay? Then there are they're the second-tier guys who are really good and someone pays them a ton of money, and they're not that guy. You know, Andre Iguodala is a perfect example. Boris Diaw is an example. Nicholas Batum is an example.
Right.
Where they get paid to be the man, and that's not who they are. What they're meant to be is that high-level glue guy who does just a bunch of winning things, but not the 25-point-per-game scorer. They go to a team where they're asked to be the man and things go sideways. They tend to get out of shape or something goes wrong. And then they end up on their third team where they get to go back to being what they were meant to be, which is a solid role player. And that's when the career gets back on track. Otto Porter, we'll see what happens with his health. There's a long history of guys going to bad teams and then all of a sudden playing less often because, well, dude, we're 20 and 40. So I don't need to risk that tender back on this night, you know, that sort of stuff. Like, geez, we saw that with Draymond 2 years ago. Remember?
Right. I think the Draymond comp is the one that I think about is he's not a guy like he's a much, much, much better player than Otto Porter ever will be. But he's just not a guy. Yeah. It's just a different like Russell Westbrook would have loved playing with the Warriors from 2 years ago. Like that it would be perfect. He would average 28, 12 and 15 and just throw up numbers. We saw it. And that's not who Draymond is. He's not that type of player. Same thing with Otto Porter, right? When that happens, you're going to say, well, I can't really get my own shot, so I'm not going to get points. Nobody's going to appreciate what I do defensively because nobody cares about that unless you're winning, right? So I think that kind of hurts. And the injuries, of course, right? But I think you're right. I think that mindset doesn't help. And we've seen that change with Batum. Batum, who, by the way, turned down probably a larger offer from the Warriors to play in to play with the Clippers, who we kind of resuscitated his career with. So I think Otto Porter, fantastic signing. And you said this, and I forgot to bring it up, is he's smart, not just shooting and defending. He's great cutter, his little off the dribble game. And I think most importantly, he understands Steve Kerr's system. Like there's going to be no Kelly Oubre, Ken Bazemore type of
right. He's the type here. Of guy who will recognize if Steph Curry is open 5 feet away from him, which is something.
Which is so low standards, but yes.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, you're right.
He is. So everything comes to the caveat of his health, but he addresses one of what I think is the Warriors' biggest needs. I think the Warriors needed guys who could shoot in the front court. Draymond needs someone around him who can shoot the ball. Looney's not that. We see what Draymond looks like offensively when you have a front court partner who doesn't shoot the ball. Now you're adding someone like Otto Porter, who I think is primarily a small ball. I mean, he's just a four, to be honest. He's 6'8", 6'9", 7 foot wingspan. He's got legitimate size and he can really shoot the ball. So he's going to make the game easier for Draymond. He's also a pretty solid passer and cutter. He's going to recognize when other people are open. He's a good team defender. I mean, he addresses. This isn't a. I don't think it's a hot take to say that 2017, 18, like around that time, Otto Porter pre-injury was better than the best version of Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, see, this is the take that I was going to have. I agree. I think, well, he's not going to be that guy anymore. It's hard to believe that. But I think in the situation where he becomes 80% of that player, I think he's a better fit in the closing lineup than Andrew Wiggins. I think you go with Steph, Jordan Poole, when he takes another leap, mini leap, and he becomes a guy that can get to the hole and can shoot consistently. And you play Clay at the three, and then Otto Porter, who's a bigger foot. Like, he would be like that Harrison Barnes player.
Or, you know, even if you don't take him
perfect
out,
fit.
I mean, you just play him at the four. You got Wiggins, Porter, and Draymond. That's some solid length there. That's some solid stuff. But it's like Otto Porter fits the bill of what the Warriors want far more than guys like Bazemore and Kelly Oubre did.
100%.
Like, he 100%. Can cut, he can shoot, he can pass. He's doesn't get tunnel vision on the rim, that sort of stuff. So it's a good signing. It doesn't address all their needs, but it is a good signing.
And to me, it's, look, Bazemore shot 40% from three. Great. He really didn't do anything else on that team. Kelly Oubre looks like he plays defense very hard, but honestly, doesn't really do much on the team in terms of winning. So, and the athleticism that I think people are worried that the Warriors are losing, I don't think the athleticism ever did anything for them. I don't think it was that important. I think end of the day, if you have Draymond Green and you put smart defenders around, you'll be able to play pretty good defense. And it's not like the Warriors were locking up the best teams in the league too with that quote unquote top five defense. So yeah, good signing. Let's get to Bjelica.
Bjelica, another front court player who can really shoot the ball. Another player who's been in a couple bad situations, so it's kind of made him look worse than he is. But like he's kind of the heart and the soul of the Serbian national team. Did you know he's more loved in Serbia than Jokic?
Oh my
God. Because he always plays for the national team.
Yeah, well, makes sense.
One of the better shooters you're going to find, actually probably a better passer than Otto Porter. Like, he can do some of the Bogut David West pass from the elbow stuff. I think Steve Kerr is going to love having that option off the bench because this is, again, another guy you can kind of count on to, quote unquote, settle the unit and make it easier on guys like Kuminga and Wiseman.
Yeah. Yep. And he's not, it's not like he's a 6'7", he's not a wing, right? He's 6'11".
He's a legit 6'10". Yeah.
Yeah. 6'10", 6'11". Like, that's a 7-footer. Now, it's not like he's rim protecting,
No.
But there's a little bit more size there.
Yeah.
Like my take with Nemanja Bjelica is that he's similar in Otto Porter, perfect fit in Steve Kerr's system. Excellent shooter. I don't think it's an Omri Caspi situation where he's going to be scared to shoot by midseason. I think he's got enough defensively to play there as the four, maybe small ball five in the second unit lineup. And I think he also, like you mentioned, he's going to make life a little bit easier for some of the rookies, namely our guy, Big Jim. Like, he's going to make life for him. You know what made life for Big Jim hard? Playing with guys like Brad Wanamaker, Kelly Oubre, Kent Bazemore, who kind of just didn't make life easy for him. They were just kind of out there doing their own thing, being space cadets. But when you talk about Otto Porter and Bjelica, they're guys that you want to play with that make your life easy, especially when you're Big Jim, when you're not really ready to play the NBA game yet. So I think it's another great signing.
The thing that I think is going to catch Warrior fans by surprise with Bjelica is his passing. For the Serbian national team, they run him like the same way they use Jokic. Take that for what you want. Last couple of years, the Kings and the Heat have used him a little more as a passer too. Like, he's the kind of guy who, if he got the minutes, would get 4 to 5 assists a game. He has kind of like the same assist rate for the advanced stats folks that guys like Bogut and the last couple of years, the guys like Bogut and David West had. I think he's going to be it's really going to help the Warriors, because like last year we complained that they didn't change the system because I thought it was ridiculous. They were trying to run this pass to the high post, read and react system with guys like Kelly Oubre and Kent Bazemore, who are just incapable, right? Now they at least have guys who can run their preferred system. They're going to help them out. The front court got a lot better, and I think that's all around a good thing.
Yep, all around a great thing, I think. Now, and especially also another thing to think about, they got both of these guys for vet mins. I don't know how much I believe that they turned down mid-level exceptions for these vet mins. I always kind of, we'll see. But that means, Sam, that they still have the taxpayer mid-level exception. Like, they still have $6 million to get another free agent, presumably, that's going to help them as much as these two guys. And that's pretty exciting.
There are rumors they're not willing to pay the full taxpayer mid-level.
I'm hoping you wouldn't bring that up. But
because
yes.
They're going to potentially have a $200 million tax bill. Mm-hmm. And I get that. They do need to add more talent to this roster, though. So if it's about money, trade some of your redundant pieces. You know, trade an Eric Paschal, who might not have a role in this team anymore. Honestly,
He doesn't.
Where is he going to fit if you're trying to get Wiseman minutes? If you already have Otto behind Draymond, and you all got Juan Toscano-Anderson and a bunch of players you're trying to work in the front court, where does he fit? But like with that said, on the Jazz. Shout out Joe Inglis, right? What I was going to say is let's put that stuff aside. Let's talk macro. Who's left in free agency that you think is the best option for the Warriors?
So
I'm sure by the time this is out, they'll have been signed too.
Maybe they'll be signed with the Warriors too. So not the easy selection, but the guys that are out of the Warriors range are two guards. And two guards that the Warriors may be interested in. Two different guards. I like one of them more than the other. I like Reggie Jackson. I actually hated Reggie Jackson, but now I love Reggie Jackson. And then Dennis Schroeder. Two guards. So I think those guys are out of the Warriors range. But if you can get either of those with the taxpayer mid-level, I think you almost have to do it, right? So those are top two. And then I think the guy that I think is semi-realistic for the Warriors is the guy that they were rumored to trade Kelly Oubre for at the trade deadline is Danny Green. Perfect fit. Like, you need, when I think of guys that you pick up as vets, hopefully I'm thinking you can get a guy that can close games. Danny Green, I think, is a guy that if he's on the team, he's closing games. That's an easy one for me if they can get him for $6 million.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. So the first two names you mentioned are point guards. When free agency started, the things I wanted the Warriors to add were a guard who could put pressure on the rim, front court shooting. So it wasn't like always Draymond and Looney and two guys who can't shoot up front, and wing depth. They addressed the front court shooting. I think we agree Otto Porter and Bjelica it's a pretty good starting point for front court shooting, particularly with when you consider how Draymond has looked for Team USA. God, he defensive, just masterclass for just Spain.
Yes.
Anyway, Wiseman is obviously a big developmental priority and all that sort of stuff. They added some wing bodies, but they could use a veteran wing. But they haven't added a guard who could put pressure on the rim. So I'm with you. If they can get Schroeder, by the way, I think Steve Kerr would hate Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, correct. Correct.
I think he'd be more into Reggie Jackson.
You think so? I think you might hate him too.
I think based off of how Reggie Jackson performed with the Clippers, how he looks like a reformed player, he might be a little more into that than the defiant Dennis Schroeder, who, I mean, it got ugly at the end there with the Lakers, right?
I think
both those players would help the Warriors because they give you a guard who can actually get to the cup, which is something they don't have.
And they could close. And they could close. Maybe not every game. And they could close playoff games.
Yep. Danny Green is a more interesting one. Like, I know Warrior fans don't love him because of the Clay injury, but Danny Green's a proven closer. You know you can throw him in there. He does not make the snakes on defense. He hits threes. I mean, he's just a high IQ player. He's like, he's the most unfancy, effective winning wing you can find in the league. I would think that they would love him, particularly since, like, let's be real, without Clay, they're pretty thin in the backcourt. They got, obviously, Steph. Jordan Poole's going to probably take a bigger role this year, so that's two.
I mean, that's
Damian Lee. Damian Lee could play some minutes,
but he's like a 10th man, right? Like, he's not, you're not giving him minutes every single night.
Play 30 minutes a night. Yeah.
Right.
Clay is probably not opening the season. He's probably going to be under 25 minutes a game for most of the season. So you got to find someone who can eat some of those minutes. Now you could put Wiggins at the two, but like, you got to do something.
Yeah. I'm with you. And I think that's, I think the depth portion, I think is what you're talking about. I also think that if you're talking about another target in terms of backup guard, Avery Bradley's out there. He might not command all of the, right?
That's a great one. Avery Bradley would give you that point of attack defender. So, like, you know, Jordan Poole doesn't have to guard backup point guards. Yeah. That's another good one. Yeah, they definitely need one of those guys because until Clay's back to full health, which probably won't happen next year.
And it's not even good. Yeah, I was going to say, it's not even going to happen this year. So you kind of have to do it anyway, regardless of Clay. Yeah. Right. Like, regardless of what he looks like, I think you're going to have to think, you know, you could sell me on Avery Bradley. Now, a lot of this is dependent on the healthy, but I mean, that's all these guys, right? Like, all these guys are going to have something that you're hoping for is going to do well. So if I asked you Danny Green or Avery Bradley, who would you want?
I mean, Danny Green's a better player.
Yeah.
I don't think that's particularly close, but Danny Green is also, I know it's not going well with the Philly negotiations. That feels like some leveraging going on. Mm. So I would take either. I would take any of the four guards you mentioned. Two of them address one need. The other two address a different need. I don't know if the Warriors are going to be able to address both needs, and they're just going to have to deal with the fact that they're a little short on one thing going into the season.
Yeah.
But I would be thrilled with, you know, any of those four guards, because they would give the Warriors a viable 20 minute per game rotation player, which they desperately need until Clay comes back.
Another name for you before we get out of here, Paul Millsap. Cause they're running a little
completely
bit
completely different, completely different need, but yes.
Right.
I mean, he's a good player. I would take him on a vet minimum, but like, I don't think he's actually that big of a need because you got to play Wiseman 20 minutes at minimum. You got Draymond.
Yeah.
You got Otto Porter. You got Bielitsa. You got the Loon Dog. I don't know, man.
The Loon Dog. I'm with you. I just think from a perspective.
He is good. I wouldn't mind him, even though he's older. I would not mind him.
Yeah. It's kind of dependent on, is it a vet min? Is it the full mid level? Is it part of it? What are you going to do with kind of a wing guy? Is that it? Right. You're right. I mean, Wiseman's going to need minutes, right? Like, it's not a Kuminga situation. I think he's going to play a little bit more than Kuminga. And even Moody, but I think you're right. I like Millsap. I like the way he plays basketball. So I would not be mad at a Millsap signing because they do still need a veteran big. I mean, look, Looney played a lot of minutes last season. Wouldn't surprise me if he got hurt this season. So anyway, so far, I think the offseason has been very good for the Warriors. Very, very good. A+.
I'm not willing to go A+, but I think they've had a solid start. Let's see what else they do with the offseason. They still have some work to do, but I'm a big fan of the Otto Porter signing. And I like Bielitsa, and everything's moving in a positive direction. I'm, you know what, dude? I mean, maybe I'm just being salty. I really wanted to watch Kuminga and Moody tonight. So, but we'll get to see him in 24 hours. And we'll be back when the rest of free agency ends and to give our first impressions of Kuminga.